We're not used to seeing you here that often. How does it feel to be here at the Canadian Screen Awards?
It's amazing, man. It's funny. Canada's so close, yet so far away in some respects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I go to a country like Australia, they watch so much American television. They have their own thing, but not to the extent that Canada does.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's kind of interesting to see. I'm meeting celebrities I never met before. And it's a nice, man. It's like a nice vibe here tonight.
Now, we, of course, been watching what's been happening in the United States. I see you've been very outspoken. Do you think comedy has a role to play right now with what's happening in America under Trump?
Interestingly enough, it's turning out that way. I wouldn't normally have made that assumption, though. Mm-hmm. I think Trump's kind of bad for comedy.
You think? Really?
In a way, yeah. Most comics in the States are starting to do the same jokes just because Trump is so on everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. So it'll be nice when we don't have to talk about him as much.
I mean, when you have something like this, when you feel as strongly as you do you sometimes think, like, this is bigger than comedy? Like, I just want to speak. I don't want to try and get a laugh out of this.
Well, in my life, nothing's bigger than comedy.
I guess so.
I love my genre, and my genre allows me to be more honest than most people's. Mm-hmm. But it's still comedy, man. Like, you know, it's got to be in the spirit of levity. Because it kind of helps us get through tough times like this.
Let's go back a little when you were just, Dave was just breaking into the biz. Is there someone that really made that difference for you? That you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them?
There's many people, but today in particular it has to do with the people that curate the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Why is that?
Because I'm one of the few people that came from America to Canada to get a break. Like, I came to the Montreal Festival, I spent a weekend here, and it changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never been the same. And it put me on a path to become a better comedian than I would have been had I not come through the festival.
So how did the fest force you to raise your game?
Because I'd never seen comedy taken so seriously before. Huh. You know what I mean? It was comedians from all over the world. I was exposed to more talent in a single weekend than I had seen in years. Mm-hmm. And it was the festival, so everyone was playing the A game. And it made me want to be more serious about my work.
Mm-hmm. Who are the comedians that are inspiring you these days?
Oh, these days there's tons of them. I think that most of these guys that you see working are wildly courageous. Mm-hmm. It's such a strange time with, like, people being bombarded with information. And I think comedy is an important valve in, like, siphoning through all that. And I think that the comedians, like, I feel like my genre is secure.
Yeah.
The guys that I see coming up carry the mantle well. And then a lot of the guys who've been banging from the beginning have come back to stand up. You're seeing Chris Rock back. You're seeing Jon Stewart in the clubs. You're seeing Seinfeld back. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the genre is just very strong and healthy, and everyone inspires me.
Except you seem to really kind of protect your space. Like, you pick your moments. Is that about kind of finding that place to create so you're not overexposed?
I enjoy comedy, and I enjoy celebrity, but that's not something that I completely trust.
Ah, you don't trust it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You get big enough, they blow you up like a balloon animal. They just twist into whatever shape they think you fit. So I like to just stay out of the fray and try to just focus on the things about my work that I really enjoy.
Right.
And, you know, keep that good people around me and try to have fun, man. Just try to have fun with it.
Well, even just now, I get a sense of the grounded guy you are. So,
man.
Thank you so much.
Man.
We want to ask him about the Netflix special.
Oh! Yeah, tell us about the Netflix special.
I got two specials.
Two? You had that huge deal, right?
Yeah, I got one of them.
Netflix is just changing everything.
They did change the game. They changed it for me personally. March 21st, I released two specials. These were in my vault. Mm. So they just bought them. So they're not like new specials. The most recent, I think, is a year old. But they're funny specials. And then I'm working on a third for Netflix that I put out probably by the end of the year. So you might get three Dave Chappelle specials.
That's all right.
Yeah, that was Dave Chappelle, I guess you noticed, in Canada, and the awards out there, and you know what, I like Dave Chappelle, man, he's a very cool guy, he did it in a different way, but he did it, still up there. So you're listening to Views with the Twist. My name is GDR, Wayne Department, live on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS. PotterMinute.com, Internet Writers Cafe.org, everyone at thepoetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. And folks, I said live from the beginning. We're not actually live. We're taped. It's live.
That must be very frustrating, not knowing.
Because are police telling you anything at all?
I don't know nothing. I'm right here with y'all trying to find out what's going on.
Just tell us about your grandson, what he was like. What, you
know. About videos in school. Believe me. Playing with a gun. Tell that to somebody else. I'm not trying to be for that. I'm not be for that.
So. Where in Pennsylvania is he from?
I don't know. I'm not focused on this new stuff now. Sorry to say that, but I lost my grandson, so it's like, I see y'all later. Right? I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. So sorry.
You know, this is Newark, New Jersey, folks, and I mean, a lot of crime takes place in Newark, New Jersey, in Paterson, New Jersey. A lot of crime takes place in those places. You know, it's not Chicago, but listen, it's bad. And that's a bad thing. You know, a 10-year-old kid getting shot like that, that's just not, it's not fair. You know, it's absolutely not fair. For the idiots that did something like this, even if it is a mistake, you know what? You shouldn't be shooting around the first goddamn place. That's my opinion. You shouldn't be shooting around in the first goddamn place. And if you are, and something like that happens, well, blood's on your hands. Why don't you just give yourselves up and explain it to the parents? Why don't you do that? Why don't you just give yourselves up and go explain to the parents why you shot their 10-year-old kid? That's a man. You want to own up? Own up. But you're too much of a punk to own up. It's all about some crap. All about some gangland crap. Because you can get your hands on the weapons. What would happen if you didn't have any weapons? What would happen if you found no sticks and stones? In other words, what would happen if you just had to use your fist? Most of you guys are too much punks to just use your fist. Anyway, you listen to Interviews with a Twist. My name is JDR. iTunes, Android, iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawaquan at your-poetry.com, SoundCloud, and Pinterest. I shall return.
White House awkward handshake saga continues, this time with German Chancellor Angela Merkel being awkwardly rebuffed while attempting to like put out an olive branch to Donald Trump. But we're going to watch this video and then break it down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, head out. Thank you, fellas.
Fellows over here.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So we're gonna end up. We're gonna play that again. So you see her say to him, "Do you want to shake hands?" He doesn't acknowledge it. So that's weird by itself. But then you have the two facial expressions. So I believe that we have a close up right on Merkel's reaction. So first, let's look at her reaction.
Thank you. Okay, head out. Thank you, fellas.
Guess not.
So look, it's a lot of people are going to say it's a loud room, a lot of flashes going off. Maybe he didn't hear. Her face was of a person who believed they should have been heard. and got no reaction.
His face was of a person who heard someone. It was a semi-smirk.
Play that again.
He
rocked his face
as soon as she said it. Like, no,
he has
no.
That mischievous, childish Trump look on his face. Can we roll that last video we just played? And you're gonna see he looks like a guy who's doing something. Oh yeah,
no, he does kind of. When she says, he kind of goes, "Oh no,
yeah."
He gets a little roll going on, and look, this is the Chancellor of Germany, man. Just shake her hand. Now look,
maybe he was worried because the last time he shook hands with the Japanese Prime Minister, he looked like such a jackass, and now he's like, "I'm not fucking shaking hands."
No, it's one. You're almost right, I think, but it's one layer deeper. So. First, let's show some of the aggressive handshakes. So you're going to see that in this
history
video.
Of Donald Trump.
The history.
Thank you very much.
What are they?
Please, look at me.
Thank you to Mike Pence. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pence.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
So that's the key right there at the end. He's had a long string of aggressive. Shake my hand.
I'm a man. You're a cuck.
Okay, so that went on for a while. And then the Trudeau factor. Game changer. Like,
you gotta go. You gotta, like,
I can't pull him. I can't pull him.
Push back.
And so now the fear of God is in him. Because if Trudeau could do that, a Canadian, imagine what a strong German woman could do to him. He's not taking that chance, okay? He's not shaking her hand.
So he learned that move, and I learned. So once, try to come at me with that. I'll show you. This is what I learned in Krav Maga. I got my key.
Exactly.
I hit him with my key.
So look, it might come to that, but do you really want to be the president who keys out the eyes of the Chancellor of Germany? Do you want to have that reputation? Perhaps not. Look,
he doesn't know how. I mean, I'm sure he's shaken the many hands of many women, right? I'm sure he has. But I wonder,
when he goes in for the kiss, yeah.
Again, yeah, now that it's on his mind, like, he's like, I can't snatch her. Mm-hmm. So what do I do?
He doesn't know how to just do it like a gentleman, okay? You need to learn it. Okay?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I heard afterwards he came at her like a bitch.
Is she married? We're going to check. Anyway, don't worry, though. There was a photo taken later on at some point in their meeting. They do shake hands. We don't know what Krav Maga moves she used. We will look into that for next week's show.
We already hired one investigative reporting team thanks to you guys. Let's hire the second right now. Go to tytnetwork.com/go.
I got to tell you, folks, you know, as much as I disapprove of Trump, you know, I like him as a guy. You know, I don't want him as my president. I like him as a guy. Now, I know Angela Merkel because I lived in Germany for over 21 years. And, you know, I got a little insight on their politics and, you know, how's it go, you know, how it goes down. And, you know, it's social democratic and great. I tell you what, the United States can learn a lot from a country like Germany, to be honest with you. And I'm not just, you know, giving the Germans a tap on the back because I used to live there for so long. No, I'm not doing that. But yes, I am doing that because it's true. But this is this. If Trump, because they have differences, you know, Trump is trying to be this hard-nosed motherfucker, and he's got to deal with this chick now that just ain't going to put up with his nonsense. Listen, German people do like this. Ein, zwei, drei, vier. That's the way life works. Okay? Ein, zwei, drei, vier. One, two, three, four. Like in the military. Now, I'm not trying to say that German people are stiff and all militarized and all this crap. No. I've got a lot of good friends out there. Sometimes I don't even understand why I left. You know, because it's such a great country. You know, they have... Excuse me a second. They have a great social system. They have a great health care system. Their problems with jobs, listen, Germany is a small country. You know, I think it fits three times into Texas. Okay, so it's a small country. And when you got a lot of, like, refugees and people and whatever coming over, you know, I'm not, you know, just pointing out refugees. I'm sorry I said it that way, but that's the way it came out. If you just have, like, a lot of influx of other people from other countries looking for work and looking for sort of that social democratic life, which is in a way a taste of democracy, okay? But the Germans do it really good. I mean, you know, they might as well just call themselves democratic and get it over with. But, hey, it's social democratic because of the way they work their system. Trump would not have won in Germany. He would not have won. There would not have been a chance in hell. Even if he ran against Hillary, he would not have won. He just wouldn't have. It wouldn't have happened. Okay? So, I don't know. Anyway, views with a twist, folks. I shall return. Hey, that's what I say. Hey, listen, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR, a segment of Complaint Department on your iOS, your Android, your iTunes, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at yourwriterscafe.org, Talaquan at your-poetry.com. We're on SoundCloud and Pinterest. And I want to give my shout outs. But before I do that, I just want to say something, because if you hear me cringe sometimes, it's only because I had a little encounter with a little feline. And it was kind of a, well, we picked up the feline from the Bronx. We brought her back to Queens, where I live. And I have my three cats here, Bogey and Amber, who's 25, and Paige, who's 7. And her name was Kitty. I decided to rename her Cindy. Maybe she didn't like that. I don't know. That, you know, that could have something to do with it. Anyway, when I brought the cat back, I'd stepped out once because I feed the cats in the back of my building. The ferals out there, which right now I got a lot of food. I hope half of it's still good because I was incapacitated for a couple of days. Well, how was I incapacitated for a couple of days? Well, the cat disappeared when I stepped out and I came back in, and I knew the cat didn't come behind me. And I thought if she came behind me, she went upstairs. This was the time of the blizzard. Okay, this was the, well, you know, in Manhattan, we what did we get? Eight inches, I think, something like that. Something like 80 inches, 8 inches, seven, 8 inches. You know, so it wasn't that much. But she's an indoor cat, so it's a whole different thing. But, of course, we know cats have their instincts. So I thought if she went up to the 7th floor, and I noticed at the 7th floor when you go to the roof, I noticed the door was open, and the door was open. So I walked out, and I tried to walk around a little bit, but there was a whole lot of snow, and I didn't have a whole lot of clothes on. Well, I did. I mean, I had jeans on and shoes, but they weren't prepared to stick your feet in what on a roof is actually a foot of snow. So I came back down, looked around. She's not here. Anyway, long story gone short, we found her under the cupboards in the kitchen, inside the wall. Yes, she was inside the wall. Okay, there's a lot more to the story. I'm just going to cut it down. She came out of the wall. Now, you're asking yourself, so what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that we didn't think that she would be able to come out of the wall, because we could not see that far. We could see her face. At one point, at first, I just saw the little hole in the back. I could not tell its width. I could not tell how wide it was. So I didn't know. And then when my friend came over, who's actually taking care of the cat, but, you know, this situation happened, and so she asked me if I could take over, because she knows I'm a cat lover, and she knows I'm an animal lover. And so she said, you know, she asked me, and I said yes. And anyway, she comes over, and just when she comes over, the cat decides to appear. But just the face. So we got the landlords here. We're thinking about calling the fire department, which we did. We didn't call 911 because it's not an emergency. We called the fire department directly. And they said they couldn't help. They said because the only thing that they could do is knock out the walls. That's the only thing that they could do. And she found out because she's friends with the fire department where she lives. And they just flat out said, fire department ain't going to help you. So I got the super here, and the super thinks we're crazy. You know, there's no cat in the wall. We're just, you know, we're just nuts. Maybe we're high or, you know, drunk, which I know I was both. But just the same, she tells him she can see the cat's face, and he can't believe it. So anyway, he decides to get down and look under there, and he goes, well, how'd she get under there? How'd she get back there? I'm not going to do the accent because it's disrespectful. Although it's funny. Although it's funny. You know. But anyway, so he sees the cat. And now they don't know what to do. Because they're thinking, well, the only thing we can do is take apart the wall. So, you know, kind of thinking things are lost. I kind of broke down a couple of times because I was like full in concentration trying to get Cindy out of the wall. That when people were just talking yada yada, I said, shut up unless you got a good idea. You know, and I'm crying at the same time because I'm thinking about Cindy. But, you know, hey, it was a crazy deal. But in the end, Cindy all of a sudden shows up on top of the cupboards. Not on top. I mean where the sink is. She shows up where the sink is. I just turn around and there she is. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit. How the hell did that just happen? So what's my first dumb thought? Grab her, because the intent was to put her in the carrier. Because someone was coming, North Shore Animal League, was coming to pick her up. Now, the situation has changed since then. North Shore Animal League is no longer in the picture. I didn't know that at the time, and neither did she. And when I say she, I mean the woman that was taken care of at the time. So I turn, and I go and grab for her. Well, the results were, I went into the hospital, Jamaica Medical Center, on Thursday morning. Well, Thursday afternoon at 12, and I came back today at 2. Yes, it was an infection. Yes, they said it was not good. Yes, they said, don't worry, we'll fix it. And they fixed it. Jamaica Medical Center, remember that. So, let me give my shout-outs to the FDNY, the NYPD, North Shore Animal League, yes, and ASPCA, all animal caretakers and first responders and people that listen to me, my Freunde in Deutschland, Cindy, Olga, Marcus, hey. All right. Yeah, he is doing it again. Okay, folks. I might be back. I might not. But there's plenty of show left. So hang on.
Anthony is very stubborn.
Kristen Lyons can say that. After all, she is his mom. But it's that stubborn streak that doesn't allow Anthony to give up.
I can just always find a way to make myself smile about something.
Even when there wasn't much to smile about. In 2014, at just 15 years old, Anthony was diagnosed with leukemia.
Not waking up in the morning.
Does that ever cross your mind?
Every night. Every time I put my head down on my pillow.
Needless to say, Anthony and his family have needed plenty of support. To help lift his spirits, his mom created the Facebook event page, Photo Doggies for Anthony.
I mean, it completely distracted us from what was going on. It was a horrible time in the hospital.
And even 2 years after the page was created, people are still posting. Check this out. Somebody just posted this photo a few minutes ago. At one point, there were 1.7 million people logged onto the page. And all of that support really coming in handy after a rough day.
I don't want a feeding tube. Nobody does.
But that may be Anthony's next step. For some reason, he's losing weight. He spent much of today at PCH getting tests done. But still no answers.
I know. Tough times don't last.
But tough people do last, Anthony. Tough people do. In North Phoenix, Nick Saletti, ABC 15.
Look at the pictures out of Paris. Police out in force at the Orly airport.
And the airport remains closed after a suspect managed to steal a weapon from a soldier guarding the airport. That suspect was shot and killed by security forces.
Thousands of passengers forced to evacuate from the city's second largest airport. Pictures show travelers walking on the highway nearby.
And it's all happening in a city and a country already under a state of emergency after recent terror attacks. We start here with ABC's Jennifer Eccleston, who's covering the story from our London bureau. Good morning, Jennifer.
Dan and Paula, good morning. A massive police operation is underway this morning after a man grabbed the gun of a soldier on patrol in Paris's Orly International Airport. The assailant then running away from soldiers and hiding in an airport shop. He was shot dead by security forces, but a frantic scene followed with travelers and airport staff fleeing the terminal. It was evacuated by heavily armed police special forces who were on the scene within minutes. They escorted people to safety outside. No one else was injured. But they are warning travelers to stay away from Orly Airport until the police investigation is complete. Flights have been redirected to nearby Charles de Gaulle Airport. There's been no official comment on the suspect, his identity, or possible motive. But police are saying he acted alone. They're also confirming a shooting earlier this morning is linked to the airport incident. A motorist was pulled over and shot a police officer and fled. His identity is known to French intelligence officers. And the Paris prosecutor's office today confirming its anti-terrorism section is now taking over this investigation. Dan and Paula.
Already amplifying the nerves of the French. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for that reporting.
And you know what freaks me out, folks, with that thing in Paris is that this moron actually runs up and tries to take the weapon out of a military personnel's hand. What? I don't understand. What? And you know what he did, right? That he ran into that. He ran into the store. What was it, next door, across the street or whatever? And that's where they shot him. Why? I guess if you want to rationalize it, it was just a suicide mission on his part. And it was no sort of retaliatory suicide mission, meaning in which he sets off a bomb and he gets killed. Or he gets killed and later the bomb goes off somewhere. No, he just wanted to go down. Because that's, you do that, of course you're going down with anybody's military. I don't care, even in Sweden. All 10 of them. I better stop that. No, but seriously, that's just crazy stuff. Anyway, folks, listening to Views with a Twist, my name is JDR. I may not be back, and if I'm not back, I hope to hear from you or let you hear from me next week.